A few years ago, quite a few years ago now, I took a little trip on a sailing vessel, and it was made out of cement, which, like, I don't understand how a cement boat floats, but they do. It was this big, I don't know, it had three masts on it, and so we left from the dock, and there were a bunch of people, you know, tourists, and I was sitting on the deck and watching all of the people doing their sailing work. It was a short little excursion out and then back again, but I know I've seen some things on TV where you can actually go and be a part of the crew. And you can hoist the sails and jib the jab or whatever they do on sailing vessels. I don't know what they do. There's nautical stuff that goes on there, and then they clip through the water. And I'm kind of like a, you know, I'm an involved person. I like to work. I like to be doing stuff. And I think I would enjoy being a part of the crew better than just sitting and watching somebody else do, you know, all the work, especially because I probably think they're doing it wrong. And you know, I could do it right. So that's the way I am. Well, in this second week of a brand new series of study in 1 John, we're continuing a theme that came up in last week's message, and that is fellowship as participation, because it makes all the difference in the world whether you're just sitting on the deck watching somebody else do all the jib-jab stuff, or you're doing it yourself and hoisting the sails and changing the rudder and who knows what. And John introduced the concept of fellowship as participation, and we're going to leak back into the scripture from last week and go forward into this week as we continue to not completely round out what fellowship is, but go a little farther about what this participation is and what it does for us. So if you weren't here last week and you're interested in going back, lfmchurch.net, Sunday or Weekend Connections in the menu bar, and Recent Connections. That will start having all of the messages in this series and anything else we've done since the first of the year as well. And there's also a link at the bottom for past ones if that's of interest to anybody. So we want to be participants on this ship that we're sailing. So we're going to start, I'm going to just read the whole passage, 1 John 1, verses 3 through 7. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you all: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Amen. I mean, there's some grand claims in every passage of scripture. There's some awesomely grand claims that we have. So the first two verses, 3 and 4, were at the end of last week's message as we started to talk about participation of fellowship. And John picks this up, and I wanted to have that kind of his thought flow into it. We're going to kind of flow into next week too, at the end of this week. It just works out that way these few times. We'll see what happens going forward. But number one in your handout, we're first going to talk about the full fellowship circle of participation. So we talked about participation, that's being involved, but then there's something that happens because of this involvement, and it comes full circle as John reminds us and teaches us and models for us what this participation is like. So 1 John 1, 4, he says, "We write this to make our joy complete." Now, you see that verse is in two versions if you have a handout. We also have the King James, which says, "And these things we write unto you that your joy may be full." So this is just me letting you into my preparatory world. I look at that and I go, wait a minute, is it you or is it me? Where is this at? So I start researching, and you know, and the bottom line is that it depends on what your basic texts are, how old they are, what word was used in there. But what we do see is that the thought expressed here, no matter which word you use, is an echo of what Jesus taught in John chapter 15. So it's the same author. John wrote the Gospel of John, and John wrote these three epistles as well, these letters to churches of training and encouragement and warning and all those other things. And Jesus said this in John 15, 11, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." In other words, The fellowship of participation brings joy all around. It's full circle. It brings joy to people who are contributing in different ways, people who are receiving as well as giving. There is a full circle. There's a promise in here. It's not worded as a promise, but the words used are very important. The word joy. Well, we talk about happiness. If you go back to the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, blessed are they. And that word blessed means something different. And there are different words. But this joy, this word he uses here, is a gladness of heart. It is an uplifting of spirit. It is a sense and feeling, but not just a feeling. But it includes that. And he is saying here that when we are in the fellowship of participation, all of our boats of joy get lifted by the rising tide. Now, I don't know how you approach life, but there are times when joy is fleeting. And one of my oft prayers in quoting scripture is, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And I feel like the gifts we've been given in light of what we deserve, we should always be nearly giddy. But often I'm not. And this is really helpful as I'm preparing this for all of us today, is remember that joy increases when we participate in fellowship. And this is true of me. I am if you left me to my own devices, if God hadn't called me into ministry, I'd be in a cave somewhere, you know, like with a stack of books, and because I'm an introvert, and often when I'm approaching time with people, in my mind, I go, I don't want to do this. I want to be by myself, blah, blah, and grouching at me. But every time I'm with people, I feel better. Every time, unless, somebody's yelling at me. And then that's not so much. But, you know, sometimes we need to do that in one another, too. But it's true of me, and I submit to you. I don't know if there's, I've not met very many people who were more reclusive than I could be. It works. Those of you who are extroverts, you already know this. Okay, and you're trying to get in every little group, and you want to participate in everything, and it builds up, and we're challenged in that way. Those of us who are like me, and we need to force ourselves to do it. But there is a joy that comes in fellowship. So this is one of those places where you can look at what you call fellowship. So remember last week, we used that corny definition, fellows on a ship. So it's just a bunch of people occupying the same space. That's not fellowship as it is defined in the Word. It is participation. So you can look at how you're involved and say, is joy missing? Maybe one of the things I need to do is enter into participation in some way. And believe me, if you're kind of outside of participating and you're hearing this message and the Spirit speaking to you, you know, call me. And we'll do what we can to help identify who you are so you can participate in a way that is profitable for you, because we don't want you to do something that God hasn't gifted you at and you feel worse. So it's important that we do that. It is a fellowship of participation, and participation lifts the tide and all the boats of joy rise together. If you want to be more joyful, we need to be in participatory fellowship. Number two, fellowship of light. I'm reading over my notes this morning and I go, wait a minute. That sounds a lot like the title of today's message. Yeah, it is. I don't know what happened to my creativity through the week. I just copied the title for point number two. By the way, I wanted to say this, because Diana sometimes says, you know, when you give us these blanks, you're treating us like children, or sometimes it feels like, I'm not doing that. This is a memory device. I expect you to fill them in all ahead of time. That's what I do when I go to church. I go, I think I know what this is going to be. It's to help you remember. That's why I do it. So I hope you're not offended. I'm not saying she always says that, but So if God calls any of you into ministry, be careful about how you use your family. Just be careful. Anyway, fellowship of light. First of all, we talk about the origin of this light. It's not just participatory, but it's in light. So the origin is, of course, God, and John says in the fifth verse of our passage, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. Now, so you may have seen me scribble during one of the songs. I sat down and scribbled. During the warm-up in the band, I scribbled something in my notes, and then I noticed when Pastor Mike was praying, whether it was related to the song lyrics or not, there's a theme of light God has prepared for us today. I don't know if you noticed it. Jesus Messiah, light of the world, was one of the phrases we sang in Jesus Messiah in I Am Not Alone. I see your light is breaking through. We just sang that. God is light, and this fellowship comes out of this light. So he is light, and there's no darkness at all. The Genesis account of creation is so interesting when we talk about then defining God as light. So you see Genesis 1:3-5, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. What day was the sun and moon created on? Anybody know? Fourth. Where did the light come from on the first day? I think God said, let the earth see my light. Let the earth see me, my light. I'm lighting this void planet. It was described at the beginning, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, I'm here. In his essence said, I'm here. And I'm starting my work on this planet, which we all both benefit from and suffer from because of the brokenness that is represented here. So right at the beginning of our story, the light of God is shining, even before any of us are created, and before any of the processes of the earth are put together in the way this world works in its beauty. And today is one of those, man. Day, I hope you get out. If you're not planning on getting out, get out. Not just from here to the parking, to your car in the parking lot either. And then we see that this light of who God is goes all the way to the end of our history in Revelation 21, verse 23, the city, New Jerusalem, that comes down at the end of all things when all the travail is over, all the judgment's been taking place, and we're in eternity forever, and there's no more interruption, there's no more thing that needs to take place. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. From our beginning to, in one sense, we say the end of all things, but it's the beginning, really, of all that he intended, God intended in the first place, as he wipes away our cause of all the pain and the suffering. He is light. Scientists define the physical light, like from coming from these sources and even from the sun, as electromagnetic radiation. That's not God. He's not electromagnetic radiation. He is the source of light, and he is light. I put it this way. What light is God. He didn't sit around on his throne one day and go, I think I'll make light. He is light. He can't not be light. He can't not radiate whatever light is, and we're going to go a little way, but not very far, in being able to define that, because that's just really hard to get our minds around and our hands around. But the character of light I want to concentrate on first is illumination. Light shows things as they really are. And sometimes that's frightening and challenging. I don't know if you were like this when you were a kid, but I was in my bedroom, the upper floor of our house. Outside the door at night, I could see the hooded figure of the Ghost of Christmas Future from the Magoo version in the shadow in the hall. And I had my little bed, and I would cover my head because I didn't want to see what might be there. And some of us live not wanting to see what's really there to our great loss, because we need to see what's really there. Part of our biggest problem in this world is creating false realities and then kind of trying to fill those in and follow those. Now, nowadays, I'm still a little hesitant in the dark, but like when I go out on the morning of a deer hunt and I want to see 360 degrees because I want to see what's creeping up on me. You know, when I hunted up north, it was more likely you might see a bobcat. I did see a bear come out one time, and I just want to see that stuff. There's a difference between that. And here's the truth about light. It can be gloriously welcoming, and it can be challenging. I pray in the basement every morning, and it's getting to the point where the sun's going to be out. 5:30 is when I get up, and the sun's going to be up, but I like the dark. And yesterday morning, I went down to pray, and wouldn't you know it, I left a light on from the night before when I was, I think, playing my bass or something to some worship music, and I forgot and left the light on. Man, that's harsh when you walk from dark into light. It hurts. So sometimes we recoil from the light. But God is light, and he illuminates things, and we really need to see what's there. And John talks about some things that are there, and we're going to start talking about them this week and then continue to talk about those and other things. And it, of all of the things light is, and there's one more characteristic I'm going to talk about today, illumination is one of the most important. We just do ourselves such damage if we shut our eyes to the reality, because that means we can't do anything about it. It means we're subject to it. It means things that are real can rule over us and we don't even know. And we are freed people when we're in Christ. The quality of the light that God is that there is no darkness. Do you know what the definition of darkness is? We've kind of defined the light as illumination to start out with. What's the definition of dark? Absence of light. Dark doesn't have its own. Darkness is absence of light. Total darkness is the absence of light. What we experience, and so I speak to those who are following Jesus in one form or another, you've started that relationship. We have the light, but there are shadows. There are things that block the light, and wherever that's put up, it either casts a dark shadow that hides things, or it might muddle the light so it's just not clear. Those of you who are aging like I am and need spectacles, and you know the dimmer the light gets, the closer you have to get to the page, and eventually nothing works and you have to turn on a light. Shadows block light. So that's God. The fellowship of light starts with the origin of light, and that is God. God is light. The Son is God. Jesus is light. Praise the Lord, light. Be in your handout. Light is shared. That's where the participation comes in. It's grand and great that God is light, but what if he just had his own light and he kept it to himself? That'd be tragic. We know that's not true. He shares this light, and John goes on in our opening passage to kind of open up this concept of the sharing of the light. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Well, if we're not seeing the truth because we don't have the light, of course we are not living by the truth, whether that's by intent or not. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The one another between God and I, and the fellowship between you and I. We have fellowship, the fellowship of participation, not the fellowship of sitting on the deck, watching the deck hands and the other sailors do their work. I got a bunch of notes in here this morning. The Lord really kind of filled out some blanks for me, so I'm trying to decipher what I have down here. So it is imperative that we talk about the walk. What does that really mean? We need to walk in the light. It's interesting interesting and liberating, I think, that he doesn't say find a spot in the light. Like you get to the spot where you need to be in the light. It is a walk. It's moving in a direction. So on stage, it's not so much here, you can feel it, but when I was in theater and I was younger in high school and college days, and you can feel the heat of the center of the spotlight. And so a director will tell you when you're doing a certain scene, depending on what you're doing. And so I was Don Quixote in Man of La Mancha, and I sang The Impossible Dream. And so when you're singing The Impossible Dream and the rest of the lights are dim, you want to feel the heat of the center of that light. Now, if you had somebody up in the crow's nest, as we called it, and they had the follow spot, and they're moving the follow spot, there is a kind of a marriage and relationship or something between the spotlight operator and you as you walk along the stage, and he keeps you or she keeps you in the spotlight so that things can be illumined, and in a theater sense, people can understand what's going on. We are walking, called to be in a walk in the light. And God moves in such a wonderful way in that when we get into his presence, it's like flipping on a light switch. There are things you see you've never seen before. What's really interesting is when somebody who has been anti-God, maybe even atheist, don't believe that God exists, and the Spirit calls out to them and they sense it and they accept Jesus, it's like, how could I have believed what I believed before for so long? God is real. He's true. But our lives then are full of a growing illumination and it's a combination of the follow spot and the leading. So like when you're walking through the woods and you got a group of hunters and you're the lead guy with the flashlight, you trail that flashlight behind so they can see where they're going. God is both leading us and going along with us, and bit by bit, he is illuminating things so that we can take it. I know when I first turn on the light, so I go down in the basement and I pray for the first cup of coffee, and then I go up and get the second cup of coffee, and then I read my Bible through the second cup of coffee. And so that necessitates me to turn on a light and pull the glasses on. So, because I can't read without my glasses. I can see a lot of things, but I can't read very well without my glasses. And so it's that process of I turn on the lamp, it's a pull chain, and I squint. You do that? So you can see the light coming through your eyes. It's a little red because it's showing through the blood veins in your eyelids. And you kind of get used to that. And then one eye opens a little bit, and it blinks, and I get used to it. And sometimes I turn away from the light. I can't even look at the light, do it. And then finally I get both open, and then I turn around and grab my Bible and whatever devotional book. I usually have a couple resources that I use. God is doing that in our lives. He doesn't drag us out and turn on the floodlights. I had a Ford Maverick, the real ones back in the 70s, not the trucks they came out with now. And somehow my dad got a hold of some aircraft landing lights. Guess what I did? I put them right underneath the bumper of my car, and I'm driving down Carpenter Road in Ypsilanti, and I have a toggle switch. I had a bunch of them for my sound system, you know. It was classic with that. And I'd turn those things on. Poosh, I could have got a ticket. But the Lord has blessed me with never having a ticket. Of all the stupid things I've done, can you believe that? I've never had a ticket. Now you're going to think, he's getting one on the way home today. I know you think that. So we don't believe in that stuff here. We don't believe in luck. He has been so generous to me in so many other ways. But see, he doesn't do that to us in a relationship. And so sometimes there's a hesitancy from the standpoint of those who know Jesus speaking to those who don't to present that balance right. We don't want to say to someone, for instance, come and discover Jesus and he'll make everything different right now in your life. Because that scares some people away, and we know that he leads us into progressions of light and lights up different corners when we can take it, and we can take the truth, and he lets us deal with it. One of his gifts is to leave things in the shadows for a while we figure out other things, and then he hears the light in this. But we also don't want to say, just come to Jesus, come as you are, because that's not, when the light comes on, you're going to see stuff. Life's going to change for you. Might not be completely radical at the moment, or it might be. But there's this thing we don't want to present. But this is the truth. Here is the fellowship of the light. We're walking in the illumination that God is giving us to see the truth. And in fellowship, we share the light. When we're in participatory fellowship, we share the light. Jesus himself said this, Matthew 5:14-16. It's an amazing statement. Well, when I think of myself, I hope you're amazed when you think of yourself too. You, Jesus said to his listeners in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Well, whose light? And in whom is no darkness? God, that's who. But he said to his followers, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And that's for lack of a better word, a characteristic of walking. When I'm walking, I'm sharing what light I've received. And it better be a humble sharing, because it's not your light. It's his light. And you don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it, but he has given it lovingly, with great pain on his own behalf, for not only the physical excruciation of a cross, but the spiritual weight and shame of our sin. We're light. So, where are you walking? Start thinking about that. We're going to circle back to that in a minute. The last thing, three, is the warmth of light. That's another characteristic of light. Everything that gives off light gives off some form of heat. Now, if you have LED bulbs compared to incandescent, you can feel that it's different somewhere. The LEDs are way cooler, but there's heat that comes out of light, every kind of physical light we know of in the world. And to me, heat is comforting. Now, I'm not talking about the heat of being out. I hate beaches. I mean, like being out on a beach in a lawn chair under the baking sun, sweat dripping off. It's like, oh, I can't breathe, you know. But I'm talking about that heat when you come out from a chilly afternoon, you've been working out in the garage, and there's a little, turn up the heat, or you have a little fireplace. We have one of those electric ones in the basement, and that puts out a little radiance, got a little radiant strip in it, and it puts out a little heat. Or when you first get in bed, and you've gotten ready, and you're a little cold, and it's winter, and you don't turn your furnace up, because who can afford to heat the house as warm as you want it to be? But you get under the bed, and slowly the chill wears off, and your own body heat starts to warm you up, and you just go, ah. Isn't that comforting? When God shows us his light, there is a comfort. But it's so interesting how comfort comes. Comfort comes through exposure to truth, and that is not always immediately pleasant. So John said it, the first half of verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the last half of that verse is this, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. This is the warmth of light. And it centers around that word purified, which is from the Greek word we get the word catharsis, which means purification. And often we relate that to the heat in purifying metals. If you heat metal up hot enough, depending on what kind of metal, they'll layer out into their melting points, but all the dross, all the stuff that's not worth anything will float to the top. It takes heat, and sometimes catharsis, the process of purification, produces a heat that seems a little unpleasant at first. Not always. So the warmth of God's light, you probably felt it this morning. I know we sang the first song and Diana turned to me and said, I got tears in my eyes. That was the warmth of the light of God shining in her in a special way. You probably felt that in some way. I hope you did this morning. But there is also this other thing that we're just beginning this week and we'll start unpacking a little more next week, and that is we are purified from sin. There is the use of this word is not a one-time, everlasting purification. It is an ongoing process of purification that goes on. And get this, it says, purifies us from all sin. Now, we should have a roundtable discussion at the end of church and talk about that a little bit. Well, we're actually going to talk about that next week, too. But we're going to start here. The word sin, we classically, traditionally, I don't know, I've heard a lot of times, I've used it here in the past, too, missing the mark or missing the target, which is God. It's the word used here. If you're not like God in anything, that's sin. Whatever that is, that's sin. For the purposes of where we have been and where we're going, I want you to think of it in an additional way, if you will. Anything that blocks the light is sin. Anything that diffuses the light and keeps it from its full radiance, we can call sin. And why is this important? Because we've... This is going to sound funny. We've criminalized sin. We've made it so evil. We've made it so other that sometimes we don't want to own that there's a role it plays in our lives that we need to get away from. And guess what? We're promised in walking in a fellowship of participation in the light of God through the blood of Christ, we can be purified. The light goes on in the room and there's all sorts of obstacles blocking. Its shadows are really weird. I was in the bathroom the other day upstairs and I'm looking at this, you know, one of those stands you put up above the toilet, and it's got that, if I was younger, I'd remember what it was. Beadboard, that's what it is. Beadboard on the doors, right? And I'm going, wow, I never noticed that that's crooked. The beadboard on the left door had a little wiggle in it. We've had that up for months, and I was going to say, I got to talk to Diana about this. I wonder if she's noticed it. I mean, is there something wrong with me? And then 2 days later, I'm in there again, and I have the light on, and it's as straight as an arrow. And in the dimmed light, without the fullness of it, I saw something that wasn't straight. And I believed somebody had made a mistake in making that cabinet. This is what happens in our own walk. So we're talking about walking in the light. I need to come into the fullness of the realization of what sin is. And sin doesn't make you the devil. That's what we have to get away from. We are human beings that wrestle with it. And next week in verses 8 of chapter 1 through verse 2 of chapter 2, John starts talking about what sin's role is in the life of the human race and in us specifically. So we need to be careful, and this is where we're going with this, not to let sin dominate us and we surrender to it and say, I can't help it, or say, I'm perfect and I don't have to think about it anymore. Both of those are way off base from the truth. And guess what shows us the truth? The light of God through Christ Jesus, and we're going to talk about that. So at the bottom of your handout, you have a place called My Walk. You start looking at this walk. This is what's important about light. So John is drawing comparison or a connection between our fellowship with God of participation and walking in the light, and we are the primary determiners of where and how we walk. So it's something we're thinking about, and then it's something we're praying about. Okay, Lord, and almost everybody in my hearing will probably say, I know God is light. What does this mean, Lord, to me? Where is the light in my path? Am I walking to the light? Where are dark corners? So he lets some of those spaces stay dark, but I sometimes block it. No, not there. I'm not going to even go there. I'm not even going to think about that. It's bringing up everything before him and saying, okay, Lord, show me where the walk is. So is it attractive to you to walk in fellowship, the fellowship of participation with God and God's people? It's rhetorical today, but for you to ask. If it is attractive to walk in that fellowship, then I'll use a real old word, it behooves you to investigate that walk. Look at it. Drag it out sometimes. You got to drag it out in the light of day. It hurts like mad sometimes. It's always worth it, and we're going to talk more about how it becomes worth it as God deals with the sin that is there for us and brings us into this place of walking in a pure, God-like place. What incredible things he offers us, yeah? Okay, we're going to pray. Stand with me. Praise team will come up. We'll close with our doxology. Start this prayer if you haven't. This should be a daily thing for all of us. And as always, grab another believer and say, I can't just do this alone. Because here's what you'll do. You'll fudge on it. You'll let things in the dark stay in the dark if you're only doing it on your own. You need to have somebody you trust, not going to blab or type it on Facebook or anything like that, but that will help you, and you know, they know about this. That's really valuable stuff. Okay, let's pray. Lord, fellowship, this participation. Lord, when I look at some of the ways you're described in the Word, not being able to tolerate sin, we think of the concept of the difference between the prince of darkness in this world who we battle with on a regular basis and you as the top of the kingdom of light, the source of light. You are the light. And how incompatible those two things are. What I mean, that just increases my sense of gratefulness that you would pursue, you would love, you would come and dwell here. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like to be who you are among who we are without the change that you yourself brought into us by being in our place and shedding your blood. So first, Lord, help us to be grateful. And as tough as things may get sometimes, and we acknowledge and you acknowledge to us that this world is full of trouble, we still can be grateful because of that. You're here and you're in us if we've said yes to you. Lord, help us to see the good in fellowship. Help us to abandon old, shallow definitions of fellowship and to really grab a hold of the sense of participation. So it's not just doing tasks together, but it is, as Peter said, sharing in your divine glory. That's a part of, or your divine nature, that's a part of this cleansing that you do in us. And that opens up whole new realms of connection with those who already know you, and then a deep desire that we pray you will help continue to develop in us to reach into the darkness like you reached into our darkness and revealed your light, your good, pleasing, cleansing, dependable, soft at the right time, full on radiance at the right time, light. So we need your help to see our walk for what it really is. Help us to involve the right people who can shed light on places that we're dark to in our blind spots. And help us, Lord, to follow you and receive the joy of participating in fellowship in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.